Luke chapter 11 is where we find our text for this morning. Luke 11, verses 27 and 28. Luke chapter 11, if you are joining with us as a congregation, we've been working our way through the Gospel of Luke, whom we've come to know as our beloved physician, who reveals the greatly beloved and blessing-bringing physician, Jesus Christ. And Luke has just been speaking about prayer. And then there was the casting out of the demon, and now we find a response. A woman from the crowd pronounces that Mary, the mother of Jesus, was blessed. So Luke 11, 27 and 28, page 1007. As Jesus was saying these things, a woman in the crowd called out, "Blessed is the mother who gave you birth and nursed you." He replied, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it." And that's as far as we read God's word this morning. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is truly blessed? If you were to look at the communities in which we live, or the society in which we dwell, if you were to try to identify someone who is truly blessed, what makes the marks? What are the defining components of a life of someone who we would say is truly blessed? Where do true blessings come from? How do we identify these blessings and how do we attain them? Well, receiving a blessing from God is one of those central themes that runs throughout the scriptures as a whole. Not only do we have the narrative of the blessings being stolen with Jacob, but we know that many of the patriarchs were pronounced blessings upon them by Jesus Christ. In fact, as we begin the scriptures in the first chapters of Genesis, we find that the Bible begins with blessing. Remember, the first things that God had said to Adam and to Eve is to fill the earth and subdue it. It was a blessing of God to be fruitful and to increase in number. Genesis says the Lord blessed them. And then we turn to the end of Scripture, Revelation 22, you'll find that the Apostle John closes his letter by saying, recording the words of Jesus Christ, "Blessed are those who keep the words of this book." So we could say that the word blessing really serves as bookends. Blessings begins Scripture and blessings end Scripture. But how do we attain these? What does it mean to be blessed by God? Today we look at this theme that Jesus Christ reveals the true source of blessing is to be found in receiving his word. I'll say that again. Jesus Christ reveals that the true source of blessing is found in receiving his word. Well, we start then by considering the woman's statement given to us in verse 27. We don't know what particular teaching that Jesus was giving, but we know that this woman had been following Jesus Christ, hearing these powerful words, this teaching. Remember, Jesus was not teaching like the scribes and Pharisees. Jesus was teaching with authority, with power. Jesus was not saying, "So and so, the scribe says this." He was saying, "Thus saith the Lord," like an Old Testament prophet, speaking with the authority, speaking the words of God. And this authority and power had been made evident in the immediate context as Jesus simply speaks to this demon and casts the demon out. Jesus has the power to give liberty by the very word, by the very sound of his voice. And this woman cries out in verse 27, "Blessed is your mother, and blessed is the one who gave birth to you." Now, as I said before, the word blessed is a very loaded word. The word in the Greek is makarios, which means blessings, happiness, increase, peace, prosperity. But in the context of the biblical promises, we find that blessings are promised by God to his people as a sign of his divine favor. It's more than we hear, it's more than the empty words that we tend to hear, words like God bless America, those empty words spoken by so many politicians at the end of their speech. The word blessing in the context of Scripture speaks to covenantal blessings, a divine shower of goodness promised by God and received by his people. Throughout the Old Testament, it was the promise of a land that was flowing with milk and honey, to have a womb that was filled with children, and a house that was filled with increase, and a storehouse that was filled with grain. The contrast is between blessings and curse, and that's what we find in Deuteronomy 28, we read a few minutes ago. God says to the Israelites, as a sign of my being with you, you are to obey my words, to follow my commands. And when you follow my commands and heed my words, my blessings will follow to you, a generational and biological blessing. And this became part of their identity and understanding. God promised to physically bless them if they obeyed him in the new land. So throughout the Old Testament, we have this growing sense of identity. If God is blessing us, he will bless us with children. And if we don't have children, maybe that's a sign that God is cursing us. Why is God withholding this blessing that he has promised? There was the need for children to carry out the possession of the land, to carry the name of the Father to the next generation. So there was this focus in the Old Testament on the need for children to fill the land, to occupy the space that God has given, but also to carry on the line of Abraham until the promised Messiah had come. If there were no children, if the line of the woman had been crushed by the seed of the serpent, then the serpent would win. So throughout this Old Testament, we have this covenantal need for children until the time of the Messiah would come. So there was a focus on children being a sign of God's blessing and what it meant to be blessed by God. But in a few moments, we're going to see that Jesus is going to change the focus of this woman. But we find the same thinking in our world today, don't we? How many people limit the idea of blessing to that of physical increase, where children and family become the central point of life, that a person's goal, duty in life, is to have a perfect family or to have perfect kids. For the sake of their own pride, even refusing to acknowledge anything wrong, any sin in their own children, or to confront rebellion in their offspring. When homes and earthly heritage become the pride of life, perhaps you've seen those signs, but ask yourself this: is it true that an earthly family is the greatest blessing that a person can receive? Is that true? That an earthly family is the highest expression of blessing that can be attained? There is nothing better than having an earthly family. Is that true? Well, even today, many seek the blessings of this world, seeking to be rich in the pursuit of worldly gain while remaining poor towards God. The whole Jewish nation prided itself. We are the children of Abraham. They boasted in their physical descent. But what were they going to say in regards to this blessed man, Jesus Christ? So this woman walks up to Jesus Christ and says a very loaded phrase: your mother is blessed because she had you as a son. And we can even think about this from the human perspective. I mean, wouldn't it be wonderful to have Jesus as a child? To have Jesus being one of your little children? I mean, what kind of a child would Jesus be? He would be a perfect child. He never disobeyed, never talked back, never argued, never rebelled. Wouldn't that indeed be a wonderful blessing? To have Jesus as a part of your own family. And the fact is, in the first chapters of the Gospels, Mary is repeatedly called blessed. Elizabeth introduces Mary in Luke 1:42, saying to her, "Blessed are you, Mary. Blessed is she who would believe that there would be fulfillment to the promises of God." Mary herself said, after the angel visited in Luke 1, "From now on, all generations will call me blessed." So yes, we agree with this woman. Mary was a blessed maiden, blessed by God, to be in the context of such a privileged position, to be so close to the promised child who would be born. But we must not forget that there is a thorn on this rose as well. Because as Jesus was presented at the temple, Luke 2:35, Simeon said, "Mary, a sword will pierce your soul." Being the mother of Jesus Christ was not always easy. Because in fact, when Mary and Jesus' brothers were trying to meet with Jesus in Luke chapter 8, Jesus himself said, "Who is my mother? Who are my brothers? But those who do the will of my Father in heaven, these are my mother and my brothers." So yes, Mary was blessed, but it was also a difficult life, and she took these words to heart. She pondered them to consider what it all meant. Yes, Mary is introduced as a maiden blessed by God, to be sure, but we must be clear, Mary is not a holy, blessed fountain of life. Mary is never presented in Scripture as a co-redeemer. She was a sinner who needed to be saved by the work of her Son, Jesus Christ. She is not the dispenser of grace, but the recipient of grace, which makes her blessed. Being blessed as a mother will in fact pale in comparison to the true blessings that Jesus Christ now speaks of. To say this another way, to know Jesus in the manner of the flesh is not the greatest blessing. No, there is a deeper, more solid blessing that is to be had. So Jesus responds in verse 28 saying, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it." This word "rather" literally could be translated as this: "Yes, but better." Jesus is not contradicting the fact that Mary was blessed, because Scripture makes it clear Mary was blessed by God. But there is a greater, deeper, more fuller blessing that Jesus now speaks of, a greater blessing than even having Jesus Christ in your own biological family. Mary was blessed, but you can be blessed greater, more richly blessed than even she. This is not to deny the fact that there are blessings being found in having a family, blessings found in the normal manner of life, even blessings being part of a covenant family. But Jesus is arguing here from the lesser to the greater. In the context of the Old Testament, we know that land, deliverance from Egypt, and even children are blessings that God promised to his people. But the New Testament blessings that Jesus Christ is ushering in are greater. So that those Old Testament blessings that Jesus was speaking of, and in Deuteronomy 28 speaks of a land and having a big family and having your grain storage filled, they pale in comparison to the greater blessings that Jesus Christ was bringing in. And when we think of the word blessing, Jesus is challenging our expectation. Because when we think of the word blessing, we think of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. When we think of blessings, we think an easy life. We think lots of possessions. But what did Jesus say earlier in Luke chapter 6, that's with the Beatitudes? Jesus says this, "Blessed are the poor. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who weep. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are those who are persecuted. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst." Wait a minute. This doesn't make sense. How can you be blessed and have all of these things? How are blessings found in the context of weeping and hungering and thirsting and mourning and being persecuted? That's because Jesus is challenging our conception of blessing. This doesn't sound right. Jesus is teaching us to identify true blessings. Jesus is altering our view of what it means to be blessed when we expect blessings to come to us in this world. Our expectations are limited and temporary. But when we expect blessings from the Lord, we come to see blessings are truly great and lasting. Kingdom blessings, in other words, are not found in the manner of men. It is not the physical, biological connection to Jesus Christ that conveys true blessings. In other words, true blessings are not found in being of Jewish descent. Nor are earthly material things, even a family, the greatest blessings that can be received. In many ways, we are more blessed than any Old Testament Jew. And I can say this, a New Testament woman, a New Testament woman who is a Christian, never married, physically alone, has no children, has no connection biologically to any family on this earth. This New Testament single Christian lady has access to more blessings than an Old Testament Jewish mother who had 12 children. How could this be? What makes true blessings? Well, we sang a few minutes ago from Psalm 1, "Blessed is the man who forsakes iniquity and does what is right and good." So although it is true, Jesus is not denying the fact, families are a blessing from God. We sang from Psalm 127 earlier. Psalm 127 and 128 speak about the blessings of a family building a house, which is a blessing from God's hand. But greater blessings are reserved for those who hear God's word and keep it. These are the true blessings that Jesus Christ is dispensing. So Jesus says, "Blessed are those who hear." To hear God's word means that you are in the context of the means of grace. For faith comes, Romans 10 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. If you are privileged to sit in the context of the pure preaching of the word, if you are able to hear the word of God, the logos of theos, we hear the good news, the gospel we're talking about in our catechism series, proclaimed to us, then we are truly blessed. Do you know that you have more blessings sitting here this day than all the Old Testament saints who longed for what you have now received? But more than that, not just hearing, because as Jesus says to his disciples, this is Matthew 13, "Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear." But Jesus concludes verse 28 by saying, not only blessed are you who hear, but blessed are you who keep. Our NIV, that translation says, "Blessed are those who hear the word of God and obey it. Now, this word, keep, is philosso in the Greek, which means to guard, keep, and protect. Now, the image that this should bring to mind is the image of the sower and his seed. What made the soil good is because when the seed fell on it, the seed was kept. It was retained. It wasn't snatched away. It was kept, and therefore it produced a crop, a harvest. Blessed are those who hear and hold on to that word. So that word retained is retained. It finds root, substance, it's embraced, and that implies also obedience. James 1 puts it this way. A person who looks at himself in the mirror and goes his way forgetting what he looks like is a person who hears the word and doesn't keep it. That's foolishness. How foolish it is to look at yourself and forget what you look like. It's equally foolish to hear God's word and to forget it. Rather, blessed is the man who hears the word and keeps it, embraces it, so that that word remains with them. Jesus uses this same word in John 12, this word for keeping. Whoever hates his life in this world will keep it. He will keep his life in the world that is to come. So the way in which we find true blessings is not found in a physical, biological connection to Jesus Christ, nor is it found in a physical, biological family. True blessings are blessings that Christ gives, so it's our connection to Christ by faith. We're going to find that tonight, identifying faith, Lord's Day 7. What is true faith? True faith is the means by which we are grafted into Christ and we share all of his blessings. So how are we blessed? We're blessed in a spiritual connection to Jesus Christ. And in being spiritually grafted into him, we hear his word, we receive it, and we keep it. And it becomes one with us, and we one with him. So how are you blessed, congregation of Christ? It may be true that you are blessed with an earthly family, and praise God for that. You might have a house overflowing with God's physical, in his good providence, blessings. But it may be that you don't. It may be that you are single. It may be that you don't have children and never will have children. Are you blessed? Absolutely. In fact, your blessings exceed the blessings that the Israelites found in the Old Testament. Because your blessings are found in your union with Christ. When you hear and keep his word, then you are truly blessed. Listen to what Jesus, a disciple, said to him. This is Matthew 19, verse 29. Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever has left his house or his family for my sake will receive 100-fold and will inherit eternal life." To say this another way, the blessings that Jesus promises are better, greater than a few trinkets and toys. It's not in homes and wealth in this world, but in life and crown and glory in the world that is to come. Jesus says that when you are united to me in faith, you become a part of my family. Not biologically, spiritually. You become a part of my family. God becomes your father. I become your brother. The church becomes your fellow brothers and sisters. If you now hear and embrace the word of God, you are truly blessed. You are more blessed to be a disciple of Jesus Christ than it would be to have Jesus as an earthly brother. truly we are blessed when we are joined to Christ in faith and we hear His word, embrace it, keep it, and obey it. To conclude, knowing where true blessings come alters our expectations. When we understand that we can be blessed if we hunger and thirst for righteousness, if we mourn because of our sins, if we are persecuted because of our faith, we can be truly blessed. We have a greater blessing and privilege than even Jesus' earthly family because we become Christ's eternal bride. God's word is that pearl of great price, that hidden treasure that is worth more than everything. And indeed, it would be better to sell everything you have in order to gain this great treasure. Our passage from Deuteronomy 28 closes by saying, if you obey God's voice and carefully obey His commands, then you will be blessed when you come out and when you go in. The Aaronic blessing that you hear at the close of the worship service, the Lord bless you and keep you, causing His face to shine upon you, turning His countenance towards you. And God smiles upon you in the covenant of grace. It's there that you find true blessings. That is the blessing that we have when we receive, believe, and obey His word. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the many benefits, the vast benefits divine that we in Christ possess. We thank you that these blessings cause all of the earthly blessings to pale, because it is truly blessed, eternally blessed, to be united to Christ in faith, to hear, receive, and embrace His word. Oh Lord, may we be thankful not only for the earthly blessings that we have, families and homes, which are blessings from your hand, Lord. We do thank you for these. But we thank you for the principal blessing, the greatest blessing, which is being grafted into Christ and receiving life eternal and the forgiveness of sins. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.